We are finishing up the last couple of lines of the sixth parak, getting into the seventh parak, and as I said yesterday, getting into the rest of Masecha Sota, which is really every daf in Shas is fun, but it's really many, many different topics to discuss, as we will see in the Mishnah at the beginning of the next parak. But first things, finishing up Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. And we are a couple of lines from the bottom. So if you remember, we're discussing the cases in the end of the Mishnah. The Mishnah discussed cases, but there are contradictions. There are two Edim, one against one, two against two, two against one against two, in terms of whether this woman is able to drink the Mesota. And the Mishnah had three cases. First, the Mishnah said, we know that Eid Echad is trusted by Tumah because of Raglayim Ladavra. The Gemara said back in the beginning of the Masechta, because there was already Kini and Stira, Machlokas, what do you need two for, what do you need one for, three different days that we had back on Daf Beis, but if after, at the end of the day, that you're ready to do the Mesota, and then Edim come. So the Mishnah says, if it's one against one, one says she was Nitmes, so she should not drink the water, and one says Lo Nitmes, or if a woman says, whether it's a kosher aid or a non-kosher aid, it doesn't matter, so then Haisa shows that they cancel each other out, and then we're back where we started, meaning she has to drink the Mesota. But what about if there's one against two? So the Mishnah said you go by the two. If one says Nitmes and two says Lo Nitmes, so then she drinks, because we assume Lo Nitmes. If two says Nitmes and one says Lo Nitmes, then she doesn't drink. So that was the cases of the last two cases of the Gemara. We then went into how does the Gemara work out within the Shita of Ula, because Ula says whenever the Torah says you're allowed to trust one aid, that one aid becomes like two aidim with the power of two aidim. And therefore, if it's one against one, the first aid gets the power of two, so when the second aid comes, he shouldn't be able to contradict the first aid, because now it's only the one that came second versus the one that has the status of two that came first. So we had a machlokas, whether you change the girsa of the Mishnah, Ula would change the girsa of the Mishnah, Tini, lo, haisa shosa, and Rabbi Chiya said no. Rabbi Chiya says no, haisa shosa, even in that case. What do you do? Does he argue on this principle of Ula? So he says no, there's a difference whether they came b'vasachas or whether they came b'zachar zeh. If they come b'zachar zeh, nachinami. I agree with Ula. But the Mishnah is all about a case where they came b'vasachas. If they came b'vasachas, they came at one time, then it's one against one, and therefore they just cancel each other out, even according to Ula. So now we're asking on that sheet of Rabbi Chiya. Tanan, about 10 lines up from the bottom. Eid Omer Nitmeis Ve'ishnaim Omer Lo Nitmeis. You just explained the sheet of one against one, but because you say the Mishnah is about the Basachas case, that's not going to fit in to the next case of the Mishnah. Eid Omer Nitmeis Ve'ishnaim Omer Lo Nitmeis. The case of one against two, so in that case we say the two win. Haisa Shosa. What's Mashba from there? Only because there are two do we say she would still drink. Hachad v'chad lo haisa shosa. But if it was one against one, she would not drink. Tziyufta de Rabbi Chiya. Against Rabbi Chiya, who just said in the one against one case in the Mishnah, she would drink. Kasha and Rabbi Chiya. Says the Gemara back, 1 minute. Oma lecha Rabbi Chiya ula taimeich. Look at the next line. Remember, there are three cases of the Mishnah. We explained the first case. You just asked me from the second case, but I'll prove to you from the third case. Ula taimeich ema seifa. Shnayim omrim nitmeis ve'echad omer lo nitmeis. If two of them say that she should not drink the water, nitmeis, one says lo nitmeis, lo haisa shosa, she does not drink. Ha'chad v'chad, mashma, if there would be one against one, haisa shosa. So case two and three give opposite impressions. What would you imply? So how do we work it out? So the Gemara has two, which are really one, two versions of Rabbi Nechemya. Our Mishnah is not talking about a case where there were kosher edim that are coming. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a case where there are psule edim coming. So the whole din of Ula does not apply here. Ula says, whatever you believe one, he's counted as two. No, that's only if you have an eid echad, kosher. But what about Rabbi Nechemya? Elakula bepsule edim Rabbi Nechemya hi. Both of the last cases where the two edim are coming are talking about psule edim. Rabbi Nechemya, like Rabbi Nechemya says, right? This is quoted, we had this a couple of times in Maseches Yevamos. And now Rabbi Nechemya comes up here. The Tanya, what does Rabbi Nechemya say? Rabbi Nechemya omer, kol makom shemina Torah eid echad, halach acha rov deos. Different than Ula. Right? Whatever the Torah believes in eid echad, you go after the majority of opinions. The more people there are, usually we know the rule is right? Two is equal to 100. Doesn't matter how many witnesses come, right? You could even have the Mishnah in Makkos, if you remember, you have 100 Edim, and the two Edim keep saying Yimanu Yisem, possibly, unless you just say it's a Machlokas Tanoim there, but it's possible. Two are equal to 100. Rebbe Nechemiah says not in this area, where the Torah believes the less than one aid, so then whether you go by the majority of opinions. And therefore, va'asu shtei nashim be'ish echad, kishnei anashim be'ish echad. Right, and all psulim are equal, and therefore that's why you would win, you would go by two in both of the last cases of the Mishnayos. Two would be one, because they're all talking about psulei edus. Right, so don't ask me about, oh, one is next after two. Rabbi Nechemiah has a different opinion. Number one, the Ika Da'amri, a slight variation of that. Not that he says you go by Rov Deos, and two women are equal to two men, but kol hecha da asa eid echad kasher meikara afilu mea nashim nami ke'eid echad damien. If one eid, even Rav Nechemiah would agree, if there was one eid kasher that came first, so then that would be strong enough. That would be strong enough to counter all of the eidim psulim that come afterwards. Even 100 women that come afterwards is like an eid echad. And therefore what? We look at the bottom Rashi. Kol echad asa eid kasher meikara. V'amar nitmeis. If one eid says she does not drink, she's nitmeis. V'niskabla eiduso. V'achagach bo mei nashim k'eid echad damien v'havilei kama shnayim. V'ein dvarav shalechad v'makam shnayim v'ein oshose. Meaning, according to this version, Rebbe Chaim really agrees to Ula if the first eid came first. Once the eid, if the first eid is an eid kasher, so then the eid kasher would win, even if 100 come afterwards. But here we're not talking about that. You're not going to have the problem of Nechshav as two, because the first aid that came is not an aid kasher. Right, the case we're talking about here is the one says nitmeis and two says lom nitmeis. So the opposite, we're talking about an aid kasher did not come first, and therefore you're going to go by Rov Deos. And that's why two are always going to win in the Mishnah. Rav Nechemiah would say as follows. Rav Nechemiah Omer, Kamakom Shemina Torah Eid Echad. Halakacha Rov Deos, the Asu Shtei Nashim Beisha Achas, Kishnei Anashim Beish Acha Echad. Right, if it's two women against one woman, it's like two men against one man. But Aval Shtei Nashim Beish Echad, but if the man would come first, the kasher would come first, kipal go pal gadami, so then he would have power. And Rashi goes through all of the ukimtas in the Mishnah. You look at Rashi Dibur Maskil, kipal go pal gadami. Klomer kol chad v'chad. Now he goes through each case of the Mishnah. V'i bebas achas asu, if they come together, one kasher aid and 10 pasol aidim, uki tre lebahad echad, v'up mas veka. Then it's the stalemate. They cancel each other. But if they come one after another, and the Torah, the one that the Torah believes came first. So then, he's like two, and he beats all the other ones that came afterwards. The Mishnah that says, means when one was pasul first, not one was kosher. So that Rashi goes through each of the cases. Just finishing up, if it's the same Yesod in the last two cases of the Mishnah, so what do we need both of them for? We have the case of one against one. So why do you need both directions of two against one? Vitarti Bipsuli Aidis Lamali answers the Gemara Mao Detema Ki Azlina Basar of Deos Lachumra Avalakula Lo Azlinan. You might not say this principle Lakula Kamash Volan. Across the board we hold Rabbi Chebi old Basar of Deos Bain Lakula Bein Lachumra. I think that's up there in the shortest prakim list in all of Shas. Less than a blot, about a blot. But either way, now we move on to Perek Elu Ne'emari. So, what is this here? The first one on the list is the reason that this is here. Language. This Perek is about language. What are you allowed to say in any language, and what do you have to say in Lashon HaKodesh? So the Perek starts off, Elu Ne'emari B'chol Lashon. The following ceremonies, or krios, I shouldn't say ceremonies, krios, halachos, mitzvos, these can be said in any language you want. And the first one on the list is Parsha Sota. The Parsha of Sota can be said in any language. What does that Parsha mean? The hashba'ah of the Kohen, telling the woman, we had before, if you remember, back on Daf Yud Zayin, the three dais, about how much has to be written down on the Megillah, but the hashba'ah could be in any language. Rashi is mashma that the ksav has to be in Lashon HaKodesh. We had a machlokas, could you use part of a Torah for the ksav? But Rashi says in Pashur Sota, Masha HaKohen Omer La, V'lo Amrinan, and you don't say, Tzorech La Omra, B'Lashon HaKodesh, Kederach Shenechtav. You don't say, you have to say what you wrote. Mashba, that what you wrote, for sure, has to be in Lashon HaKodesh. The Rashba writes in a tshuva that also the Shem Hashem that you say also has to be in Lashon HaKodesh. Everything else could be, the rest of the Hashbah and the Arur, Hashbah Sheyishbo Arur, could be in any language. You want to make sure that the woman understands. But what was written, and also Shem Hashem, that has to be in Lashon HaKodesh. So that is number one on the list. But now we have many other mitzvahs that Baruch Hashem were able to delve into over the next couple of days. Next, Vidui Meiser. Vidui Meiser. What's Vidui Meiser? We know there are Trumas and Meisers brought every single year of Shemitah. Year 1, 2, 4, and 5, Truma and Meiser Rishon and Meiser Sheni. Year 3 and 6, Meiser Ani. Shemitah, there are no Trumas and Meisers. There's what to do every single year of Shemitah. So we know the Torah tells us at the end of the third and the sixth year, meaning Pesach, the last day of Pesach in year 4 and 7, we do Vidui Meiser. Mitzvah, Pasuk in Parshas Kisavo, that we go to the Beis HaMikdash, Bi'arti HaKodesh Ben Abayis, I've done every single thing that I've supposed to do, and there's a declaration that we make, right? Arami Ovidavi, we say it in the Haggadah, but that's the mitzvah of Vidui Meiser, right? There's different mitzvahs. There's the mitzvah of bringing all of our matnos, aniyim, and matnas kahuna, separate mitzvahs, Truma, Meiser, Rishon, Meiser, Sheni, and then Vidui Meiser is just the all-inclusive vidu declaration that I am supposed to say. The Rishonim all discuss, not all the Rishonim, but a number of the Rishonim discuss, why is it called Vidui Meiser? Or what's Vidui? Vidui is usually associated with tshuva. That's a different mitzvah. Vidui from tshuva. Vidui is saying I did something wrong. Here it's saying I did something right. Right? So why is it called Vidui? So there's a discussion. If you look in the Svarno on Kisavo, he has a unique creative shita. Bi'arti HaKodesh Ben Abayis, Bachatoenu uba'avonos avoseinu husra ha'avoda me'abachoros. You know what Vidui is going back to? It's going back to the Egel. It's going back to, as we know, originally, the history was the firstborns were supposed to do the avoda. Hence, Yaakov had a steal, take the avoda, the bechora, from Esav. But after Chayta Egel, the firstborns lost it. And it was given to the Kohanim and the Levim, the only ones that didn't take part in the Chayta Egel. And that is another reason we mentioned some Achronim say. The Stechemed brings Achronim that one of the reasons that firstborns fast on Erev Pesach. Why do they fast? Because Hashem saved them. What do you mean Hashem saved them? They should have a party. They should sponsor Kiddush on Erev Pesach. They shouldn't have fasted on Erev Pesach. Fasting, something wrong happened? No, the point is that Hashem redeemed them, and really, it's a little kitro, because they should be the ones that do the avoda, and then they lost it by the Egel, so that is the fasting, it's a tshuva, we want it back. There are Kabbalistic sources that say it's going to go back to the firstborns when Mashiach comes. There's a Zohar that the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh quotes. But in any case, the Sfarno says, what's the Vidui? The Vidui is, why are we giving all these Shumas and Meisers to the Kohanim and the Levium? Because the rest of us all lost it by the Chayta Egel. The Vidui is connecting back to that. Asher lahem haya ru'uyos Shumas and Meisers. Right, if I was a first, every house is a firstborn. So I have to get it out of my house and give it to the Kohanim and the Levim. That's a reflection that I can't eat it. Why can't I eat it? Why can't my firstborn eat it? Going back to Chayta Egel. So it's all about the problem that goes back historically. That is number one. The Yazayim LaTorah of Sorotskin also deals with this. Not exactly. He starts off by discussing why Vidui, but then he goes into where he has a couple of suggestions, but just along the way, he talks about we have to try to remember everything. We have to remember everything that has happened over the last couple of years, and then he discusses the phrase that we say on Rosh Hashanah, Hashem is Zocher Kol HaNishkachos. Hashem remembers everything that we have forgotten. So pashas, that means you can't forget anything. But Hashem is all remembering, and we have to recognize that. But then he says a little deeper. He quotes this from the Admor Mirazin. He quotes that Hashem is dafker zocher the nishkachos. He's not zocher what you remember. He only remembers what you forget. Meaning, if there's an avera that I forgot about, Hashem remembers it. If there's an avera that I didn't forget about, and I'm v'chatasi negdi tamid, and I'm always focused on this avera to try to do tshuva, then Hashem forgets about that. Anything that I remember, Hashem forgets about. It's only what I forgot. And also mitzvahs. If there's a mitzvah that I remember and I keep patting myself on the back, I am awesome. You know what I did? This was amazing. Did you catch that mitzvah that I did? So Hashem forgets about that mitzvah. If it's a mitzvah that I forget about, I did a mitzvah, but now I'm moving on. I need to do something else. I don't focus on what I've done. Hashem is zocher kol hanishkachos. So in both ways, by mitzvahs and averos, he discusses that we have to try to forget as much as we can. But this vidui is noting, and he says at the end, why is it called vidui? Because vidui means I didn't do anything, you know, I'm acknowledging what I did wrong and now I want to do better. So to be able to say, I've done everything correctly, right? I haven't done anything wrong. That's also a type of tshuva. Tshuva is acknowledging what I need to do to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So vidui also is sur miraz, also the asei tov. That's also part of the process. But that is all vidui ma'isurus, and that can be said in any language. Next, kriya shma. Next on the list. Again, many, many hours we could spend on each one of these mitzvos, but kriya shma can be said in any language. First lamaisa, and then we'll get back to some of the lamdas. The Shulchan Aruch quotes this. Shulchan Aruch quotes this in Ochlus Kriya Shema, that me'ikar adin, one can recite Kriya Shema in any language. Simin Samach Beis. Yochel Likrosa B'chal Lashon. V'yizoher. But then the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam. It's a machlokas Rambam Raivin. The Shulchan Aruch says, if you're saying it in any language, you have to be, just like we know in Lashon HaKodesh, you have to be extremely careful how do you pronounce things and how you say the words. Be very medactic, so to in any language. If it's Kriya Shema, so then you have to be medactic. V'yizoher midivrei shibush sheba'oso lashon v'yedaktek bo kemo b'lashon HaKodesh. That's the quote of the Rambam. If you look at the Rambam in Nichlas Kriya Shema, he quotes that lashon, and the Raivin is upset about it. He's like, if you're saying it in English, you have to be medactic about the pronunciation, and what if there's a word that ends with one letter and starts with the same letter, like b'chol l'vavchem. If you have something like that in English, you also have to be medactic about that. So the Raivin is not happy about that, but that's what the Rambam says. The Rambam quotes that in Perek Beis of Hilchos Kriya Shema. Let me just find it. Kori Adam is Kriya Shema b'chol lashon shiyehei makira. V'kori b'chol lashon zorach lizar midivrei shibush shavos olashon u'medaktik v'oso olashon kemoshu medaktik b'lashon hakodesh shemkara b'lashon hakodesh. Says the Raivin, ein ze mekubal al adas l'fisha kol alashonos pirushein l'ivris. Umayadaktik od acher pirusho. He doesn't think so. Maybe the Kesef Mishnah says maybe it just means to find the exact words, not to say them in the exact pronunciation. But you can't use synonyms. You can't use, oh, this is pretty good. This is the best translation I could have. No, you have to use an exact translation. And if you can't find an exact translation, so maybe it's better not to say that word in a different language, like totafos, like tefillin, right? You can't. That's in right, the parts that have those words. But either way, that is that's the Shulchan Aruch quoting the Rambam. The Mishnah Berurah, though, says, in the Bir Halacha, a discussion of the Rishonim, and he says, it's better not to. It's really better not to be saying it in other languages. Right? He says, first of all, he says, you have to understand that language. Like the Rishonim say. It's not like, if I don't understand French, I can't say it in French. It has to be a language that I understand. And then the Mishnah Berurah has another limit. It has to be a language that is understood in that locale. Let's say my friends and I we made up a language. We have our own language that we talk. So, can I use that language? B'chol lashon. No, you're not allowed to. And the Mishnah Berurah says you can't even use a language, a real language. Let's say I can't say it in Italian if I'm in Australia. It has to be a language that is understood and spoken about in the area where I am. Vada. I got an email yesterday that papagayo, the word that we mentioned from the Rishash yesterday, means parrot in the Italian and other languages. That's why Italian is on my mind. Vada od. Denira li bipshitus. De osen dvarim anemar and bachalashon. Hudafkim anshi osamadina madabrim kach. It's only if that country speaks that way. That's not called a language in this country. Okay, you might say that certain places are melting pots. You know, you go to this place, there's at least three languages. Right? Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, okay, Lashon HaKodesh, but there's probably as much English happening in Yerushalayim, and I know there's more, in some areas of Yerushalayim there's probably a lot of French, right? how do you determine? It's a good question. The Bishlam Lashon HaKodesh says the Bir Halacha, who Lashon Mitzad HaEtzem. Lashon HaKodesh you could use in any country, anywhere, because that's the world was created by Lashon HaKodesh. That's the only language that has inherent value. It's not just based on what people have decided to use as words. Basha'enkin Shar Lashon Enenuki Mitzad Heskim HaMedina. And because this Medina is not maskim to this language, so then it would not work. And he quotes that from the Ritva, also in the beginning of Nedarim, that has that limitation. That's an important Bir Halacha to be aware of. Couple of other points. When we say Kriya Shema, what exactly is the mitzvah of Kriya Shema? What do I have to say to be also the mitzvah of Kriya Shema? So whatever one answers, one is correct. But one is not fully correct. Because there are four opinions in the Rishonim. Everyone, first pasuk is the Ramban. The Ramban writes, mitzvah d'araisa of Kriya Shema, twice a day, we have that mitzvah, is saying the first pasuk. Maybe also Baruch Shem, but the first pasuk, Shema Yisrael. Rashi, first daf and shas. Rashi and daf beis v'alaf and brachas, first parsha. First parsha is also part of the mitzvah d'araisa. Bali Tosfos there seemed to say, and elsewhere Bali Tosfos quote, even the second parsha is included, and the Rambam holds all three parshias. The Rambam says clearly in the beginning of Hilchos Kriya Shema, even the third parsha of Kriya Shema is included in the mitzvah d'araisa. Umahu korei shalosh parshios elu vehein shma v'hayim shemoa v'yomer. That's all included. And this is the Rambam l'shitaso. The Shagas Aryeh points out, and others point out, that the Rambam, if you look through the Sefer HaMitzvahs, does not count separately as one of the 613 the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Rambam only counts the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim on Pesach night. But Zechira, we do it twice a day. There are Gemaras. You have to be Mazkir Yetzias Mitzrayim. How can the Rambam not count that as a mitzvah? So it's obvious, the Rambam. So there are, I shouldn't say obvious, because there are various approaches given in the Mefarshim. The Ar Sameach says maybe it's Drabanan, and the Prima Gadim says maybe it's a mitzvah belev. That's why it's not counted. But the Shagas Aryeh, I think, and Reb Chaim and others say, no, it's Pashut. It's included in the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. The Rambam is the only Rishon that says the third Parsha of Kriya Shema is included. What's the third Parsha? Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Asher Otzeisi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim. So the Rambam holds that part of Kabbalah Zol Malchus Shamayim is recognizing that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. And so therefore, he doesn't count it separately because it's part of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. There is a discussion also, and then we'll move on to the next phrase. There is a discussion in the Achronim, with a problem with the Ramban. There's a problem with the Ramban Shita. There's a Gemara that begins in the second Perek in Brachas. The Gemara has a discussion about Hefsik. Are you allowed to be Mafsik during Kriya Shema for certain, for certain needs? Talks about Megillah versus Kriya Shema. Halel versus Kriya Shema. When can you be Mafsik? When you cannot be Mafsik? So all we've shown him wonder how the Ramban reads that Gemara. Because according to the Ramban, there's no way you can be Mafsik during the first Pasuk of Kriya Shema. There's no way. What's the Gemara talking about? So the Nitziv and the stifler in Brachas, in the Gilas Yaakov, discusses, he quotes this Nesif, and he discusses other examples, this is in Simin Zion, that even if there is a minimal way of doing a mitzvah, if I choose to do it in a maximal way, then it could be that even on a d'oraisa level, it is recognized as a mitzvah, asay, a kiyum d'oraisa. So even the Ramban, though he holds the minimal way of fulfilling Kriya Shema, is first pasuk, if I decide, like we all do, to say more, that is still nechshav, the mitzvah d'oraisa of Kriya Shema. And therefore the Gemara could talk about being mafsik during Kriya Shema, which is d'oraisa. What do you mean? First pasuk? No, the answer is yes, because it gets that status. And that's why it could be the Rambam's lashon is meduyak. In Hilchos Chametz Matzah, whatever matzah I eat at the Seder is included in the mitzvah of matzah. The Rambam says it's a mitzvah to eat matzah on the night of the Seder. Once you eat a kezayas, you're yotzei. That's the Rambam's lashon. So he doesn't say it's a mitzvah to eat a kezayas, a matzah. It's a mitzvah to eat matzah, the little seder. And once you eat a kezayas, you're yotzei. So it seems clear, if you're medayik in the language of the Rambam, any matzah that I eat at the seder, I am going to be yotzei the mitzvah d'araisa. And there are many other examples of this. This could be why we could blow so much shofar on Rosh Hashanah, right? Why isn't it about Tosif? Tosif's question in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. And the answer is, I'm expanding the mitzvah. Any mitzvah that I can do in a minimal way, I have the power to expand it. So that could be the Ramban as well. Okay, Kriya Shema. Next, Tefillah. It's not fair. It's really not fair that all of these are stated all together. But tefillah, so we know tefillah can be said in any language as well. The Mishnah Brura, again, I think the same would apply as Kriyat Shema. You know, we should try to say it in a language in Lashon HaKodesh. If not, you know, any language. But again, it could be Lashon HaKodesh and looking across to the English also. Either way, it is important. There is a Sefer Chassidim. I think we quoted this once before. The Sefer Chassidim writes that the Kavana is crucial in tefillah. And if you don't understand it, it might be a good idea to use some other languages. Tavkuf Peches. Im Yavo Elacha Mish Eino Maven Lashon Ivri. If somebody comes to you who is just starting to become from, Vuhu Yarei Shamayim, isha, or a woman who doesn't know how to read, tefillah is about kavanah. The basic kavanah, we spoke about this last Shabbos, the first step in kavanah is pirush hamilos, is understanding what the words mean. And therefore, if I don't understand what the words mean, so then it is very problematic. Lakach tov yoser chispala ba'oso lashon shehu maven. Right, and then he quotes in the Makara Chesed, in the footnotes on the bottom, he quotes that he did a tikkun gadol in his city, that he made groups to study tefillah when it's not davening, in order to be able to learn the words, right, and to learn all the kavanas of tefillah. But again, kavanah is crucial. The two types of kavanah that Reb Chaim mentions, kavanah of the words, kavanah that you're standing in front of Hashem. Here we're talking about the kavanah of the words. One has to make sure. Fine, that's tefillah. Next, Birchas Hamazon, benching. Birchas Hamazon, Meikra Adik, can be said in any language. The Achronim wonder, we know, in benching, there are four things you have to mention, besides food. Right, that's only the first bracha. But the Gemara Brachas tells us you have to mention Malchus Beis David, and Binyan Yerushalayim, Bris Milah, Eretz Yisrael, Torah. Right, so do you have to, could you say those also in any language? Right, or do those have to, could those be in, any language too? Or do those have to be in Lashon HaKodesh? That's a suffix. Right, there's only the first bracha, let's say, right, Hazanas Olam Kulo, or not. Here's a question, why do we have to mention all of those in benching for? Benching is about food. We generalize it. It's a Chazal say. I think Rashi quotes this in Akev, around there, Ein Adam Mori BaKadosh Baruch Hu Ela Mitoch Sviya. We only rebel against God when we feel satiated, when we feel that we don't need anything and we have everything. So after we eat, that is a time that there's a danger. So the Torah, Remi Daraisa, the Torah demands that we mention certain basic tenets of our faith during the time after we're savua, after we are satiated, in order to make sure that we stay on the in the right perspective. So Birchas Hamazon, any language, the Chazal have the words that we are supposed to say now. We always ask the Minchas Chinuch Kasha, what happens if I make up my own benching now? Am I Yotze Daraisa and just not Yotze Midrabanan, or am I not Yotze even Daraisa once Chazal made up the words for me? So that's a question that we ask by Tefillah, by Kriyat Shema, that's in the Torah. Tefillah and Birchas Hamazon and other Nuschos that Chazal made up for us. Okay, those are some of the Mitzvos of Kriya. Tosfos here asks why there aren't more on the list. What about Hallel? What about Kiddush? Why aren't these on the list? Tosfos asks, what about Brachos? Birchas Aperos, Birchas Amitzvos. Tosfos says, no, because those can be said even without understanding. Second to last line of Tosfos. Venira. Tahani Nemaran B'chal Lashon Afilu Eino Shomea, which means here to understand. Right? Those are a lower level. Okay, that's what Tosfos says. There's a difference between brachas and hallel and kiddush than the others. If you look in the Shagas Aryeh says, why is it Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim on the list? Right, we just spoke about that in the Rambam. Shagas Aryeh, Simin Yud Gimel. His shaila there is, could it be Yosei Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim through Hirhur? Do I have to say, I have to be Mazkir Yetzias Mitzrayim, or could I just be Zocher Yetzias Mitzrayim? So he goes through and he asks on our Mishnah, why isn't Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim there? And he says, and don't tell me that it's already included in Kriyat Shema, like the Rambam holds, right? That's what that you might say. He says that can't be. Because you're right, that's how we fulfill it, but there are still differences between Yetzias Mitzrayim and Shema. So for example, he says, let me find the others. He says, Kriyat Shema, according to many Rishonim, a lot of it's Drabanan. Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim is Daraisa. So how do you know the same rules apply? Number two, Kriya Shema is only, there's a Sof Zman Kriya Shema. Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim can be said all day, right? And there's Kriya Shema Shalayla. You could say it's Zmana Ad. You could even say it, the Gemara says in Brachas, until Nate. Yitzias Mitzrayim has to be finished by Amud HaShachar. Also, the third parasha of Kriya Shema, come on, says the Shagas Aryeh. Why did Chazal institute that? Because of tzitzis, not because of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. Right? Okay, the Rambam might argue with that. But the, so he says, I don't agree you could say that. So I have a different approach why this is not in the Mishnah, says the Shagas Aryeh. No, Kol Hecha, wherever the Torah does not say something specific, the Gemara is going to have Makoros for each one of these. How do you know it has to be said in Lashon HaKodesh? And how do you know it can be said B'chol Lashon? He says, but if the Torah is silent about something, so you know it can be said in any language. If the Torah doesn't specify, or there's no reason for us to think otherwise, it can be said in any language. So the Mishnah doesn't have to tell us, because obviously, why are there specific ones in the Mishnah? Because those, there's a Hava Mina that you might have to say in Hebrew. Lashon HaKodesh. Kamash Malan, we're going to learn that you don't have to. But everything else, all the ones Tosfos says, and the Zechiris Yisrami says, he says, Kol Echa de Golilan Kra, de Lo Golilan Kra, Shenemar Davka Balashon HaKodesh, Milsa de Pshitahu, Shenemar Esmachal Lashon, Mehechi Tesi, Lomar Balashon HaKodesh Davka. The Kiva, the Lo Gali Kra, the Kolhani Dam Rit Namar, and Balashana Kodesh, and the Mishnah, those low based on Psukim. So all of these, Kiddush, Zechiras Yisrayim, Amalek, Zechiras Amalek, Milsa the Pshitahu, Shinamar, and Bechal Lashon, right? It's known, and therefore the Mishnah doesn't have to mention it. Again, there's a important Shagas Aryeh, Simin Yud Gimel, but we'll have to leave it for now. Let's continue. Again, obviously, there's a lot here, and we'll see at the end if there's any time for anything else. But now let's continue. What else is on this list that can be said in any language? Shvuas Ha'edus. Shvuas Ha'edus u Shvuas HaPikadon. Right, those are the two of the three Averis that you bring an Olav Yored for. Right, what's an Olav Yored? A special kind of Karban Chatas. Shvuas Ha'edus, if I know testimony on somebody's behalf, and it's financial testimony, and I swear that I don't know anything, or he's mashbi'a me and I answer amen, so that can be in any language, that's shvua. Or shvua sepikadon, right? I have something of his. Either he gave it to me as a shomer, or I found it, or I stole it, whatever it is, and I swear that I don't, and then it comes out that I did. Shvua sepikadon, those shvuos can be taken in any language. So those are all b'chol lashon. Next, ve'elu ne'mar in b'lashon HaKodesh. Right, these, right, it's all about, you can say it in any language. Your heart just has to be into it. That's how you remember what daf we're on. Lamed Beis. Right, Eilon Amarin, Perek Eilon Amarin is about Lamed Beis and Sota, because it's about your heart. Eilon Amarin, Lashon HaKodesh. These are said, the following need to be said in Lashon HaKodesh. Mikra Bikurim. The Kriya Bikurim, not just bringing the Mikra. The Chalitza. The Psukim that are said by Chalitza. Brachos Uklalos. The brachos and the klalos that took place, har grizim and har evil. What do I need to know that one for? Right? The Gemara is going to discuss. My dahava hava. Right? That's not a mitzvah. That's a one-time event that occurred many years ago. What do I have to know? That the brachos and har grizim and har evil were said in Lashon HaKodesh. We'll see. Birchas kohanim. That has to be said in Lashon HaKodesh. You can't make up your own brachos. You can't even translate that. Right? There might not be. In different chamashim, sometimes unkelus translates the Birchas Kohanim, and sometimes he doesn't, depending on your version of Unkelus that you have. But it could be there is no translation. You don't want to limit Yivrach Hashem Yishmerecha. Right? Whatever is included in that, we want Hashem to give us those brachas. But use those words. Birchas Kohen Gadol. The brachas that the Kohen Gadol gives on Yom Kippur when he comes out of the Kodesh Kedashim, he recites all the brachas the Mishnah is described in Yuma. Uparshas HaMelech. The king reading from Sefer Dvarim by Hakel. Right, that is said in Lashon HaKodesh. Uparshas Egla Arufa. Right, the ceremony that the Zakenim do, Yadenu Lo Shafchu Es Adam Hazeh. Right, we're going to have all of these, all of Egla Arufa. Everything you want to know about Egla Arufa is in Maseches Sota. Dafka because of this line. Umashurach Vachama. Also, when the pep talk is given by the special Kohen Gadol that is appointed to give chizuk to the Am before they go out to war, that also needs to be said, the words from the Torah. B'shashem Adaber La'am. Right, so all of those are on the list. Okay, so now we're going to get into each one. Where do you know this from? So Mikra Bikurim Ketzad. So how do you know Mikra Bikurim? That can be said, we're starting with the Lashon HaKodesh ones. How do you know that needs to be said in Lashon HaKodesh? Ketzad. V'yanisa v'yamarta v'nei Hashem alkecha. It says, you shall say in front of Hashem, u'lahalanu omer, and by the brachas and the klolos it says, v'anu alavim v'amru. Mala halon b'lashon hakodesh, afkan b'lashon hakodesh, just like the brachas and the klalos for b'lashon hakodesh, so too mikra bikurim. Right, remember there's a machlokas we mentioned in the past, machlokas Rashi Rambam, could a ger say mikra bikurim? V'yadisa amarto, right, you gave this land to my forefathers, could a ger say that? That's a machlokas. Rashi and the Rambam, Rashi on Chumash versus the Rambam and the Tshuva, whether you say that, and that's a question by many things. Could a ger say shelo asani goy? Right, what do you mean? Hashem made me a goy, and now I change that. Right, whenever we talk about our avos, there's a discussion in the postgim, what is a ger allowed to say? When is this a biological line? When is this a halachic line? Right, and biological might mean be more difficult. That's a gufa machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam here by Mikra Bikurin. Next, chalitza ketzad. How do we know chalitza must be said in Lashon HaKodesh? V'yantza v'yamra ulahalanu omer v'anu alavim. Same verb. V'yamru malahalan v'anu alavim v'amru malahalan b'lashon HaKodesh avkan b'lashon HaKodesh. Rabbi Yehuda omer, no, you don't need gzeira shava. V'ansa v'yamra. Kacha. Achetomer b'lashon hazeh. Right, there's a pasuk within chalitza that teaches me it has to be said in this specific way. Brachos uklalos ketzad. What about the brachos and klalos? What happened? Kivan shavu Yisrael zayardin. Once they crossed the Yarden, miraculously, in the beginning of Sefer Yoshua, right, the Yarden, everybody goes through, then it closes off, and the Kohanim fly across with the Aron. Once they cross the Yarden, uva'u el har grizim ve'el har evil. And they come to har grizim and har evil, shebet shomron, shebet sad shchem, shebet eitzel elone moreh. Right, in the shomron, near shchem, near elone moreh. Shenemar, just parenthetically, how do we know where it is? Halohema be'aver hayardain, eitzel elone moreh, the end of the pasuk says, ulahalanu omer, v'yaver avram ba'aretz ad mekom shchem ad elon moreh. Ma'elon moreh amur lahalan shchem, af elon moreh amur kan shchem. So that's how you know it is, up north, near shchem. Right, derech avot, we know, shchem, Yerushalayim, Chevron. Going from north to south, the line of holy cities. You want to go Tveri on top of that, but that's really Shechem and Yerushalayim and Chevron going north to south. Next, Shisha Shvatim Alu L'Rosh Har Grizim. V'Shisha Shvatim Alu L'Rosh Har Eval. Six Shvatim went on each one. V'Kohanim V'Leviim V'Ha'aron. Om Dim L'Mata B'Emsa. And the Kohanim and Leviim, they were all in the middle, surrounding the Aron. Ha'Kohanim Mikifin Es Ha'aron. V'Ha'Leviim Es Ha'Kohanim. V'Chol Yisrael Mikan U'Mikan. We'll have to see later which Shvatim. Which Shvatim are on which mountain. Right, you wanted to be on Har Grizim. Right, nobody wanted to be on Har Eval. V'chayisol omdir Yisrael mikan mikan shenema v'chayisol v'zakeinav v'shotra v'shoftav omdir mizel mizel la'aron v'gomer. It's described in detail in Sefer Yoshua, but the Mishnah describes it here as well. Hafchu panem klapei Har Grizim u'pasku b'bracha. And then the Kohen and the Levim all turned to Har Grizim and started giving a bracha. They started going through Parshas Kisavo. Baruch ha'ish asher lo yasef ezel maseicha ve'elu ve'elu onin amen. It was all said in Lashon HaKodesh. They all said Amen. Hafchu panem klapei Har Eval upasku beklala. Ara ish asher yasef ezel maseicha ve'elu ve'elu onin amen. Asher gomrin brachas beklalos. Until they finished everything. Right, one of the ways that one can strengthen their emunah is to go up north and look at Har Grizim and Har Eval and see two mountains next to each other. One of them with vegetation and green and fill of bracha. And just look at Har Eifel and you won't see that. Right? That's all strengthen one's emunah, right? It's exactly what is described here. And then what happens? They brought the stones from the Yarden, as described in the Navi, how many monuments they made in the water, in Gilgal, and a couple of monuments made. The Malbim on Kisavo goes through each one of them, what they symbolize. Uvanu asam mizbeach, visiduhu basid, they built a mizbeach with the stones, they put the lined it with lime. The kasu alav is called Divrei HaTorah b'shivim lashon. And they wrote the entire Torah in 70 languages on the stones. Shenemar ba'er heitev. Ba'er heitev. That's a lot of rocks. They wrote the entire Torah. I assume they didn't write the last day of Sukkim of the Torah. Right? Moshe died. Right? Unless at this stage, maybe they, I'm sorry, at this stage they did. Right? When Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it down, you can't say that. But here, I'm sorry, right, this pasuk is quoting Ba'er Heitev from earlier in the Torah. So then the Mefarshim say it has to be excluding the last eight psukim of the Torah. But here, Ba'er was a Ba'er Heitev. So there is a Machlokas Rishonim. What exactly was written down on these stones? The Ramban has two dais. The Ramban is quoted by other Rishonim too. But the Ramban in the end of the Torah, the Ramban says in Parachav Zayin Pasuk Gimel, first he quotes the Gaon. which Pashas means Rav Sadia Gaon. He quotes the Gaon who says, Shekasvu aleya minyan ha-mitzvos, kamo aksuvos behalachas gedolos, ke'en azaros. Tayrag mitzvos, that's what it means, Torah. They wrote down the Tayrag mitzvos, that's what Rav Sadia Gaon says. Number one. Number two, the Ramban says, v'yitachein shahayu ha-avonim gedolos mod, o shahayu mimaisa nisim. Maybe the whole Torah was written down. Maybe the whole Torah was written down, right? Shahaisa kol haTorah k'suva bahen meberachis ad la'enei kol Yisrael b'tageha v'ziyuneha, with a tag in, with everything. It was all written down. So number two, there is another day quoted, I think, in the Bali HaTosfos, in the Das HaKeinim, in the one of the Bali HaTosfos, that maybe it was Aseres HaDibros that was written down, and Aseres HaDibros symbolized kol haTorah kula. Rashi quotes Rav Sadia Gaon also in Parsha Mishpatim. I think it's the only time Rashi al HaTorah quotes Rav Sadia Gaon. He quotes at the end of Mishpatim that all the Aseres HaDibros can include in a deeper sense all of the mitzvos. So there's a 3 day as what exactly was written down on these rocks. Yes. Next question. 1 second. So, doesn't this prove? Isn't there an issue to teach Torah to non-Jews? Right? Isn't there a tragedy? The Septuagint, Gemara and Megillah, translated into the 70 rabbis in the different rooms. They made all the changes. That's one of the 3 reasons we fast on Asar B'Teves, because of the Septuagint. Isn't that tragic? So, that's a good kasha. One of the Achronim, Rav Moshe Feinstein in Teshuva, and then Siv, both, right. You see from this Gemara that it's not a blanket Isser to teach Torah to non-Jews. You see from the Mishnah. You see from the Pasuk that they wrote the Torah in 79. What did they write it for? So, you could stretch it and say, oh, the Jews were going to go into Golos. They're going to speak all the different languages. It was really for the Jews. But that's not Pashtus. That's not Pashtus. When are they going to go into Golos? In how many centuries? Right, so the Pashtus is, so that Siv says, Torah Shebachsav is not a problem. There are many limitations of the Isser of teaching Torah to non-Jews. But one major one is Torah Shebachsav. Right? Torah Shebachsav. Or to teach them about the amazing Nisim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? To be inspiring. Right? So that is it. So you have to talk about it. So why was the Septuagint so tragic? Maybe Dafka there, they wanted even the Jews to limit maybe the Torah Shebal Peh. Remember the Medrash. The Zohar maybe gives the mashal of the Septuagint is like the, when you have the words of the Torah, there's so much written between the lines, and so much, every word, every letter means something, and when you put it into another language, it's like putting the lion in a cage. It's like, it's caged up, there's so much that you can't develop anymore. So here, we're expanding, we're not rejecting the Lashon HaKodesh. There, they might have wanted to say, no, be like us, right? Part of, we're getting into the Hanukkah days, right? The Septuagint was Greek, Talmai was a Greek king. He wanted to substitute and say, let's translate it so all the religions could study this together and take away the unique message of the Torah, the way that it was written. So that could be part of the tragedy. But either way, so it says here that it was written, B'Shevim Lashon, Ba'er Heitev. There's a great Rabbeinu Yerucham, we mentioned in the Parshas here a couple of years ago. What is this? Why do they have to do this? Right when they come into the land, they have to write this. It was like it was the mezuzah of Eretz Yisrael. It was like right when you come in, right? Usually a conquering army, what's the first thing you do? You stick the flag down. This land belongs to this country. You stick the flag on the moon. Right, the American flag goes on the moon. Boom, we own this. We own this. We go into Eretz Yisrael. What do? We stick it down and we build a monument with the Torah written on it, because that's our flag. Our flag is the Torah. Okay, v'dalt wasavanim, and they take the stones, ubanu v'lanim b'koman, and they took the stones with them to Gilgal, and they made another monument there. Okay, now let's get back to the first part. The Mishnah quoted a couple of the sources related to Lashon HaKodesh, but now let's go back to the first part of the Mishnah. Parsha Sota Minolad. How do we know the Parsha of Sota, the Hashbah, can be said in any language? D'chsiv yomer ha-kohen le'isha. The Kohen says to the woman, "V'chal lashon shehu omer, any lashon. Tan rabbanon mashmi and osa v'chal lashon shi shomaas. Alma he shose, ubame he shose. Alma nitmes, ubame he nitmes." What do those 4 phrases mean? As follows: Alma he shose al iske kini v'stira. You know why this is happening? Because of the kini and the stira that just happened. Ubame he shose v'mekedesh acheres. You know what you're using? You're using this lowly, right, earthenware, cheres. We had that earlier in the Masechta, right? That's kamida kenegamida. She used fancy things, and we're going to use cheres. Alma nitmeis al iskes chok v'yaldus. You know what caused this? caused this, the levity, the immaturity, Ubamei nitmeis, and how was she nitmeis? And she says, b'shogeg, obameizit, ba'onis, obaratzon, v'kol kachlama, why do we go through all those details? Shlola hotzi laz almayim hamarim. If she actually did it, but if she was shogeg, if she was onis, she shouldn't be motzi laz on the waters. Rashi has two different opinions. What does shogeg mean? What do we say if it was shogeg? Rashi here says shogeg, if she was told her husband died. And she got remarried, and then this happened. Right, that's shogeg. Remember, right, amen shalo. She says, amen shalo, satisi, arusa, nesua, all the things included. So that's shogeg here. Amr lameis bailech, o anusa lo yivtakua. The water is not going to do anything to her there. Earlier, back on the daf chavav, daf chavches, Rashi quotes, if there were two men in the room at night, that she thought it was her husband, and it was the other man. Right, so Achronim discussed why Rashi gives two different shatim. Period. Vidui meiser. Minalon, how do you know Vidui Meiser has to be said, can be said in any language? Dilsif. V'yamartel, v'nei Hashem alokecha b'yartia kodesh ben abayis. V'yalif amira misota, v'cholashen shehu omer. Fine. Amalei rez v'labaya v'leilif amira me'leviyim. Why don't you learn it from the Leviyim? Ma lahalam b'lashen ha'kodesh avkam b'lashen ha'kodesh. Answer, done in amira gredesa, me'a amira gredesa, v'ein done in amira gredesa, me'a niya v'amira. Hereby the Leviyim, it says, both Aniyah and Amira, two Lashonos. So remember, Gzeirah Shavas, we try to get the most connected Lashonos, right? And the ones that are closest. And that's why we darshin one and not the other. Tanya, Rishim Ayachay Omer, Adam Omer Shivcho Bekol Namuch, V'Gnusa Bekol Ram. Right, whenever you talk about how great you are, just do it in a low voice. Right, if you want to talk about your Gnus, what you have to work on, then you can do it louder. Shivcho Bekol Namuch, Min Vidui Meiser. Right, kol namach videi meiser. Right, that's not screamed out. You said it in the Beis Hamikdash, and it doesn't say aniyah. It doesn't say aniyah there. Rashi says so. It means to kol namach genusa, but kol rami mikra bikurim. Right, from mikra bikurim. What's our genus by mikra bikurim? I misspoke before. Right, Arami Ovidavi is mikra bikurim. I think I said it was videi meiser. I'm sorry. It's mikra bikurim. That's where we give the. That's where we have the hodah. So that's genus. That's genus. Why, Rashi? She misvadin sha'avihen lavan ha'arami ha'yarasha. Right, so we invoke masna b'genus. Right, Arami Ovidavi. Right, so that is mikra bikurim. The Ben Yoyada discusses here that mikra bikurim is before vidui meiser. So why here does it talk about vidui meiser first? He says, because you always say shevach first. You always start off with shevach. Then you could have genus. Ukenuso b'kol ram. Is it really true that genus is b'kol ram? Amar b'yochanan b'shem b'shem ha'yachoy. B'bnei ma'at teknu tila b'lachash. Why do we daven Shmoneh Esrei quietly? K'dei shelo levayish is over yaveira. So we don't embarrass over yaveira. Meaning what? Rashi explains. Because we do vidui. We not only use the text that we have, but in slach lanu avinu and in shema koleinu. We do some vidui. So we don't want to embarrass anybody, and therefore, tefillah is said quietly. Shahare lo chilek hakasev. So how do you know that you don't want to embarrass anybody? Shahare lo chilek hakasev makom in chatas la'ola. The chatas and the ola are both done, they're both kachi kachim, they're both shechted, the north side of the azara. So therefore, so nobody should know whether it's a chatas or whether it's an ola. So too, so you see from there question marks, you see you're not supposed to say your gunus out loud. That's what he's basically says. Rashi even says, remember the Nes, one of the 10 Nisan that happened in the Beis HaMikdash. Omdim tzvufim, mishtachvim rivachim. There's plenty of space. So Rashi and Yuma on Dav Chaf Aleph says, there was Dalet Amos when we bowed down between each of us. Why? So that nobody hears the vidui that we're doing when we're bowing down in the Beis HaMikdash. Nobody should be embarrassed. Same idea. So it says, so why do you say it out loud? So, lo tema gnusu aleim etzaro. You're right. It doesn't mean that you should say your gnus out loud. It just means your tsaris. The tsaris that we've had, that's what we say out loud. That Arami Ovidavi is our tsaris. Doesn't mean our gnus, that we did something wrong. Kidetanya, as the Pasuk says, v'tamei tamei yikra, by a mitzora, he has to call out that he's tamei, tsarach lo dias tsaro la rabim, for rabim mevakshim alav rachamim. He has to let everybody know, and everybody davits for him. V'kol mi she'ira bo davar, tsarach lo dias la rabim. And anytime something happens to a Jew, he should let everybody else know. V'rabim mevakshim alav rachamim. And then everybody else joins in. Right, if there's a tragedy that happens to one Jew, all Jews come together. Rachman al Islam, we've seen that in recent days. So that is the Rashi. If you look in the Iyun Yaakov, it sounds like, why does the Mitzora Dafka have to ask for someone else to daven, and we learn from there? What about himself? We know that the tefillas chole works for him, works for himself the best. So the, like by their medayik, by Yishmael and Hagar. Hagar, it says that Hagar cried out to Shemayim, and the Malach heard the call of the Na'ar. Right? Cause the call of the sick one. So the Iyun Yaakov says that the Zohar says mitzorah is for the word musgar. His tefillos are musgar. Because he separated, so even he has difficulty even in tefillah. The Zohar says about Mitzorah, and that's why other people have to daven for him. You could also say more, that he has to get other people, because that's the ultimate in tshuva. He has to get other people to daven for him. He, Lashon Hara, he caused strife. So tshuva is only when he feels so bad that he's apologizing, and maybe other people even are going to daven for him. He's reached that level. Okay, let's continue. Gufa, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Says the Gemara, "Velo, nobody's going to know the difference." What do you mean? There's different zrikos adam. Chatos is lamala michot asikra on the dal of Kronos. Ola is lamata michot asikra. Dam chatos lamala v'dam ola lamata. Hazam kohen udiyata. Yeah, only the kohen is going to know that. I think people are focusing on that. Only and you have to tell the kohen. The kohen has to know what carbon he's bringing. You can't just not tell the Kohen. So you have to at least tell the Kohen. The Ha'ika Chatas Nekeva Ola Zachar. But a Chatas is a female animal, and Ola is a Zachar. Hasa Mechasya Ba'alya. Yeah, the tail's going to cover up. You might not be able to see that. Tena Kivsa. Si'ira Ma'ika Lamemar. Si'ira doesn't have a covering up tail. Hasa Mi'u Dukam Mechsa Nashi. That's his fault. Right? It's his fault. Well, he embarrassed himself. The Ibaili Lasuya Kivsa. He should have brought the animal that has a tail. V'kamaisi Si'ira. So, it's his fault. Says the Gemara, Chatas Davodas Kochavim, Delo Sagi Dolav Seira Michael Amemar, but the Chatas of Avodah Zara has to be a Seira. So Gemara says, okay, that's different. That's Avodah Zara. Hasam Nichsa Veneza. Let him be embarrassed a little more. Keichid in a Chaper Lay. Right? So he has more Kapara. So this Gemara tells us, is one of the Gemaras that talks about Tila Balachash and Chazaras Hashatz. There's major discussions in the postkim. What exactly is the purpose? Rav Soloveitchik writes in one of his Yartzei Shiurim, in many places he writes that the importance of Chazaras Hashatz, where he discusses conceptually this Tfilas Bitzibur and Tfilas Hatzibur. The Tfila Balachash is called Tfila Bitzibur, when everybody davens themselves together. Tfilas Hatzibur is the Tfila of the Tzibur. Right, he's Medayik many places, just Medayik in a Rambam. He's Medayik others in other Rambams also, but in the Rambam. The Rambam says, what happens if the Chazin made a mistake? Chazin made a mistake in his Tfila Balachash. So the Rambam says, you know what? Tircha de Tzibura. Tircha de Tzibura, let him be Yotze with the Chazaras Hashatz. Ask the, but it sounds like it's like a real B'di'evet. Why is that a real B'di'evet? He's saying Shmon Esri again. So what's the problem? What do you mean? Only Tircha de Tzibura. Well, push comes to shove. So the answer is, if Soloveitchik explains, because there's a different quality of tefillah. Tefillah Balachash and tefillah of Chazaras Hashatz are two different tefillos, conceptually, right? And there it's working through shlichus, and one is not equal to the other one. So here, so why is there one at why is it quietly lo levayish zovi aveira? But again, there's a lot more to discuss regarding each one. Okay, we'll have to stop here. Again, you just look at tomorrow's daf. Tefillah, Birchas Hamazon, Shavuos Eidos. These are always the fun daffin where every four lines you have another topic. Okay, we'll stop here. But Hashem, we will continue.